Bibles, if you would, tonight. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. Matthew 9, 36 through 38 be our springboard tonight. And just want to thank everybody for your prayers and support and everything you have done and are doing for us. The Lord is blessing down at Hope. We had a record day on Sunday. We had 31 in attendance, and most of them was within a few blocks of the church. So that is a huge blessing. We baptized one that we've worked with now for about 7 years. She called me, my wife and I, about a month and a half ago. She said, can you stop by and talk? So when we went by our house, those of you that know Miss Merle McMore, it's her daughter-in-law. And so she called me, went by our house, and we shared the gospel with her. And she sat there, and she's not a very emotional person. And so I thought, is she listening? Is she getting it, or anything like that? And then I got to the point, I went with the whole plan of salvation with her, and I said, are you going to get saved? She said, yeah. She started crying. I said, yes, I am. I said, you know you're a sinner? She said, yes. And so, you know, so she bowed her head and asked Christ to be her Savior that night. And then she got baptized this past Sunday. And I was glad to see she put on her Facebook post the day she got saved, the day she got baptized, and how excited she is to be at church. That's good. And we had some folks, her mom, who's now asking questions about salvation, her mom came Sunday. Her stepdad came Sunday. We praise the Lord for that. And we had some folks that just down the street just decided to show up for church. They live about 6 houses down from the church, and they just, you know, they said they got up, said it, you know, it's time to go to church today, so they came to church. So we praise the Lord for that. And the message this evening is, I always have a different message, but this is a different message this evening. I normally like to have a text, a title, introduction, point of contract, Roman number 1, letter A, B, and C, Roman number 2, A, B, and C, 3, but it don't go that way. I got those things down, but I've changed it all around. So tonight I would like to look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I do love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Burke and this church, and Lord, what they mean to me, and how, Lord, just thank you for them. And God, thank you for down Hope, what you've done the last several years at Hope. And thank you for that. Lord, thank you more than anything else. We thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I know it's your desire to speak to our hearts. It's your desire that we come and we listen tonight. Lord, I just pray you put head protection about the place this evening. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, you help me to say the right things in the right order. And Lord, I pray now that, Lord, that we all tonight would go away more compassionate than we came in. God, I ask you tonight, break my heart. Seems like I stutter less and talk slower when my heart's broken. So God, I ask you to break my heart this message tonight. Lord, I preached it. This is the third time I preached it. And God, Lord, I don't want it to be old. I want it to be fresh and new each time. And Lord, I pray now you would just work in our lives tonight. Lord, I do pray for the meeting down in Bayview this week. God, I pray you would bless their Sunday and pray you give them a good day. Lord, speak to hearts. Speak to my heart tonight as well. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. We see there in verse 36, but when he saw their multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, compassion, a Bible definition is this, to be moved inwardly, to yearn with tender mercy, affection, pity, and empathy, like from the bottom of my heart. And I think another word that we hear is the word burden. With a burden, it's a load that we carry. It's a load that we carry. Tonight, I'd like to look at the idea of compassion, the missing ingredient. We see here before us in verse 36 that this is normally a missionary message, and the idea is that we're looking at a different viewpoint tonight. We saw that in verse 36 that, you know, that he was moved with compassions when he saw the multitudes, people. He did not forget the people. He had met, he saw the multitudes, but I believe, you know, in all that, he saw their faces. So number one, we see that he was moved compassion over the people. Then point number two is this, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He saw the potential. He saw there was many people. He saw that there was much there. And so he saw the potential. He saw the people. He saw the potential. And then we see in verse 38, it says, pray therefore the Lord the harvest that he will send forth laborers to his harvest. He saw the problem in verse 38. He saw that the laborers are few. And I preached this down at Hope about 3 weeks ago when I went to Fairhaven last week, and a week and a half ago, and I preached up at Fairhaven pretty much this same message. You know, and tonight, it's not do we have a burden, we do. That's why we give. That's why that's why we hand out tracts. That, you know, that's why we have missions. We support missions. But I think in today's ministry, today's churches, there's a missing ingredient. I think that is of compassion. Tonight, I just want to ask us tonight, let's step back and look at our lives and see, do we have compassion? You know, I drive for Lyft, and I drive about 25 hours a week for Lyft on a normal week, and I like tips. You know, because people, you know, they call the app, and you know, and then after the ride's over, they can give me a thumbs up, a thumbs down. They can give me a tip or a bad rating or a good rating. And there's just something I found, that the best tippers come from the poorest, roughest part of town. If you listen on the news, most of the murders, the last time back, and all the bad things that happened in the last 6 months, I've been in those streets the last 6 months. Those people give me the best tips. Most of them are very poor people, very rough people, but they give me the best tips. The worst tippers, there's that, but my executives for Procter and Gamble that live in gated communities. How you their house and you pick them up. It's like you're driving to like wow, look at all these houses and all the big fancy things. And they get in the car and they don't talk. They sit there, and you take them and you drop them off. Say have a nice day, and they grunt. The best tippers are the poorest people. And there's one guy I actually gave his tip back to with I felt so bad. I only took half the tip. I said, no, this ain't right, you know, but he was just a good tipper. And, you know, I got thinking, why are the poorest in the roughest part of town the best tippers? I think they can relate to somebody that's working, looking for a tip. That's what I do it for, is to get paid and to get tips. And the other group of good tippers is the waiters and waitresses. They always leave a 20% tip. They know. They've been there, and they have done that. The worst tippers probably used to be there, but they forgot. As they walked up the chain on the social status, and now there's somebody in their eyes, and they live in the gated communities, and they have a lot of nice things. Sometimes I get thinking, sometimes they just get above the raisin, you might say. They forget where they came from. They forget the need that folks have. In our lives, I believe many times we as Christians fall in the same trap. We have a burden. Do we have compassion? There's this sweet little black lady. I picked her up over on the, I forgot the name of the street. It's where there's a bunch of crosses there right past her house. There's a cross every block where somebody's got murdered. You know, and the night I dropped her off, well, it's been a couple weeks, but I dropped her off at her house. She said, now, Rick, she says, I'm going to get out of the car, and you lock the door, and you don't stop for nobody, and here's your tip. So okay, you know what? But she cared. She lived there. She knew the danger. She knew what she was going through, and she knew what I faced. She had not forgot where she came from. Picked up a lady the other day. There's a place called Andy's. It's down on Vine Street. It's not being prejudiced. It's just a very rough black bar. And then it's late. I don't ever know where I'm going until I get there and get the address there. And I thought, oh no, I thought, Lord, I don't want to be here. And you know, and I thought, well, I'm gonna start the conversation off right. So she got in the car and she said, hi, I'm Pastor Rick. She said, lousy me. She said, oh no, a pastor's picking me up. And she told me a story how her uncle called her 3 weeks ago, and said, listen, you're saved. You need to get right with God. She said, last week, I turned on the radio, and a preacher's preaching, you need to get right with God. And she said, and now I walked out the bar in your car, and it's, hi, I'm Pastor Rick. I said, and Pastor Rick says, you need to get right with God. So we drove to her house, and I've got a dash cam that records everything inside the car. I think it's said or done inside the car. It records everything. So I signed off Lyft, and we sat in her driveway for half an hour, and she got right with the Lord. She knew she needed help. Question is to tonight, have we allowed time to rob us of our compassion? I'm not saying it robbed us of our burden. A burden will make us give. A burden will make us give. Compassion will make us go. A burden will make me give. Give to missions. Give so others can go out the street and preach on the street. Give so others can go out of visitation. But compassion will make me go. And as I begin to think about this passage here, I went back and then looked up the context of what's normally a mission passage, and we see it's written about the end of the second, third Galilean journey that Christ took on. So, if you could put Matthew 9:35 on the screen for me, please. Matthew 9:35. Let's go back and get the context of this. And Jesus went about all the cities. And villages, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that word all stuck out. So now, if you would go ahead and turn back to the book of Matthew chapter eight. I'm sorry, but Matthew 4:23. Matthew 4:23. Look at some verses here. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the healing of all manners of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. There's an upper and a lower. The upper Galilee was Gentiles, and then the lower was the Jews from Galilee and from Decapolis. Decapolis was mainly a Greek area. The Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So we see that he went about all the Galilee. Now, if you would look over to Matthew 8:5-8. Matthew 8:5-8. Matthew 8:5-8 says this. Look at Matthew 8:2. I'm sorry, Matthew 8:2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy was clean. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, who's a Roman, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Then look if you put at 8:14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, look if you put it over please, at 8:28. I think 8:28 is where we're going next. 8:28. Like I said, we're marching through here up to our text in chapter 9. But man, that's chapter 8 and verse 28 says this. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou art thou come hither to torment us before thee? And they was a good way off from then a herd of many feet swine. And then we know that he cast out the demons. Then look at chapter 9 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And like I said, then there's other things that he did. If you just record in Mark and Luke, but we're going to just look at Matthew tonight for time's sake. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And they brought and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then look at chapter 9, verse 18. Chapter 9, verse 18. While he yet spake these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter, even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus rose and followed him, so did his disciples. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with all issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched him, touched the hem of his garment. Now look over to chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities of the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. But hey, boy, is this mic good to go? Oh, no. Left ear or right ear? Either or? Is that right? Okay. Check my nose again. I still have nightmares at the time that I fell off the platform. So I still use the... He was moved with compassion. Verse 35, he went all about. We read things he did. He sat with, he touched, he spent time with all the different people that he ministered to. He didn't see them from afar. He went, he walked as he went, and he met people. Not just the multitudes, he met the people. Then verse 35, he said again, he went all about Galilee. Large place. I forget the number. I looked at the number a couple weeks ago when I was studying this, and I failed to write it down. But the number, I was amazed how many people were in that area. He ministered to them all. Lily, come here real quick. My wife, please. I've never fulfilled when I do a sermon unless she's up here with me. My wife, good soul winner, but not. It ain't her that wins them. You know, she's good. She's faithful to witness and hand out tracts and show people how to get saved. This afternoon, that guy was here. That he rode by his bike and you talked to him. He invited his wife to church here this Sunday. So she's a faithful witness. she hands out tracts. Before Elmwood, she had a burden. She would go, because I went, but she wasn't comfortable, right? She wasn't comfortable. She would give because she had a burden. As she began to meet the people and know the people by name, their needs, their past, they were what we would call wicked and vile, as we were before we were saved. They were all these things. And then she met Vicky, a girl we will say for sake of everything else, we will say that a girl that works on the street. She befriended Vicky. She got to know Vicky. She talked to Vicky. One day her heart was broken. She had compassion because she began to see them not as a sinner needing a Savior, as somebody that just made a lot of bad mistakes that need a Savior. I'm afraid in today's world, as churches, I use the illustration of those two extremes on those that tip, because, and then some reason the little old black ladies just love me to death, you know, down there. They're sweet, and you know, they give me extra tips, and they tell me to, you know where to go to be safe and how to get out. You know, and they go overboard taking care of me, because they're still there. They know the area. They know the need. They know the danger. The executives that pick up, that's going to Procter & Gamble or some other companies downtown, and I drop them off, they could care less. They probably don't even know my name. They probably never, they had no idea. I was just a driver to come to work. I'm afraid some of the churches, we're so blessed of God. We are so blessed. We have so much. My fear for Hope is that, because God, I mean, this, you know, we had a great week last week. We had the 31. So I went to church Sunday. I said, guys, let's be careful. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I said, because we've had a great day. There's a fight coming this week. I said, be careful. Because I don't know how the devil uses things to get our attention. So on Monday, a guy came in to clean the church, and you know, he went to the girls' restroom, and the whole door just fell off and busted. So some things that I can't find replacements for, and it's so you know, it's with the doors out in the auditorium limb against the wall now. On Tuesday, a guy came by to install our carpet, and one of the installers just was working. They just put glue on the ground, and they stood up and leaned against the wall, and there's a glue spot on the wall now where they were. And on Wednesday, the guy come by to help us to make some adjustments on our security system down there, and he went to take thing off the wall, and we just painted the walls, and a whole glob came off of twice on the wall. So on Wednesday night, I said, remember, God gave us things to use and people to love. If we lose things, if we love things, we use people. I said, I preached 2 weeks ago on compassion. Don't allow these things this week to rob us of what we experienced Sunday. Be careful. I think in today's world, we as Christians are kind of like my wife was. We have a burden. My wife was raised in church. I mean, she's a sinner saved by grace. I'm not saying she's not a, believe me, I live with, I'm not saying she's not a sinner, but I am saying this. She didn't know what it was like down there. And now she's got compassion on those folks. We see people now, and then she sees them for just somebody that's made some bad decisions. And needs help. That's why today, when she was out front and that guy rode by on the bike, I think he stopped to rest or something. She went out and talked to him. She saw somebody that just might have a need, and he poured his heart out to her about his wife and the church they used to go to, and they did this and that, and they had a long talk. What did she do? Something big? No, she She simply went and showed some compassion. My question, like I said, it's not my typical type of message. Question simply tonight is this. Have you lost your compassion? When's the last time we wept over a soul? I love seeing baby Christians. They tell everybody they're saved. They invite everybody to church. They give everybody a tract. And they witness and tell what Christ did for them. Because they have compassion. Because it was just there. It was fresh in their mind what God saved them from. And then as they get older, it's not that big a deal anymore to hand the tracts out and invite folks to church. I mean, they do it out of obligation. But they have the burden. But they've lost the compassion. And if we're not careful today, I preached for the other day, and I told them, and I said, I know you guys are a great church. I mean, you know, yeah, they had a good number that night, a big church, a big bus ride. I said, I'm not asking you if you have a burden. I said, I know you have the burden. Have you lost your compassion among everything that we have? Because that old Baptist temple, I'm asking us tonight, the same thing I ask Hope. Have we lost our compassion with everything that we have? Have we lost our compassion? I know we have a burden. We give to missions. We support missions. We plant you plant churches. You know, and I know the burden is there. Question is the compassion there? Because what scares me is this. One generation that loses their compassion, the next generation will lose their burden. The next generation will be a social club. I think it was the last church in the book of the last church address in Revelation. I think, to the church at, but there it says to the church of, because they become so worldly. They lost their burden. They lost their compassion. Parents, do our children see us with a compassion for those that we should be reaching? When they come to church, do they see others here with compassion? I know you have a burden. I know you hand out tracts. I know you give to missions. I know you love church planting. My question is this. Do you have compassion? Many of you, I can mention some names from Elmwood that came out here over the years, and you met them and you know them. And if I mention their name, it would stir your heart. You have compassion for them because you know them. Let's get outside our comfort zone. Stop and talk to people. Say, hi, I'm Pastor. Say hi. I'm Rick. Can I give you a track? And some having compassion making a difference. Every morning that I don't drive for Lyft, I go to McDonald's in Reading. There's an older group of guys there that are older group that either rich or they're homeless. But they're all there and they're all together, and they're all staunch Catholic. When I went in the first time, it was like I had a plague. I'd open my Bible, I'd have my tracts out. I talked to one of the older guys. I know he's homeless. I'd buy him a sandwich, and I did that, and they wouldn't talk to me. The people behind the counter, they just wouldn't talk to me. I sat there and I read my Bible, had my tracts. I didn't offer anybody a tract. I said, the Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, what did you do? And so I went in there. About the second month, one of the guys said, what those things there on your table? Well, with Matthew with me one day, that guy now has taken a tract and extra space where the church is. And you saw what he was back then. Very reserved. You know what it was? I wasn't a stranger. I was somebody that came in. I cared. When the door opened, I talked to them. The homeless guy now, he's a check once a month. He always buys me a sandwich. Humbling. When homeless guy brings you a sandwich,
some having compassion, making a difference. I am not the example. I am not saying that, but I'm saying this. It does make a difference when people know that you care. Do your friends and neighbors and loved ones, do they know that you care about their soul? And that you invest in time and you invest in prayer and you know, and you do what you can for them? But you don't understand, they'll use me. They used our Savior. They'll mistreat me. Well, they mistreat my Savior. They say bad things about me. They said bad things about our Savior. But I've been wronged. I've been hurt. I've been this. I've been that. Our example is Jesus Christ on the cross. One of the last things he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. People we're trying to reach are dead in their sins, and they just don't understand what we're trying to do. But if we have compassion, the Bible says some having compassion, it makes a difference. I believe that verse 35 is there for a reason. It came before verse 36 when he was moved with compassion. He had compassion, number one, because he was our Lord and Savior. But number two, he had been set with, talked to, touched, been around, and ministered to those people. And he was moved with compassion. He was trying to teach his disciples, go with compassion. Tonight, do you have compassion? Do you care? People have wronged you. Are you waiting for God to get them back? Or are you praying, Lord, work in their lives? I heard the other day that I deal with compassion. It's when a neighbor has wronged you, and you're going down the street, and he lives next door to you, and you're going down the street. Is your thought is? And you see the smoke, and you're nervous because you're not sure which house it is. And you get there, you see it's your neighbor's house. Your compassion, boy, I'm glad it's his house and not mine. Compassion says, I wish it's my house. Which is my house. Love our neighbor as ourself. Easy preaching, hard living. Tonight, I just ask you to examine your heart. Do you have compassion? I know you know the Word of God. Preach here every week. I know you have the Word of God, and I know you know the truth. Have we lost our compassion?